Welcome back to Sling the Biscuit. This is a new episode, new series of the show, new season of the show. If you're on the video version of the show, it's going to look a little bit different. As you can see, we have the new studio here in downtown Vancouver at the beautiful Wall Center. And I'm here by myself with my co-host on the other end of the line, which we'll get to in a second. Sling the Biscuit has joined the Nation Network podcast in their portfolio of shows. So this is now a supported show. It's not a freelancing show anymore, which is very exciting for myself since, you know, doing this for the last 3 years on my own with other co-hosts, which is the next part that I want to get to. Dave Wheeler is no longer a part of the show and a part of the podcast. Dave has been a personal friend of mine for, 2 years now almost. And I remember when the show started back in April of 2021, this was an idea that was spun from COVID, having nothing to do, sitting at home, that I wanted to use as a way to share stories and share conversations that I never would have been able to otherwise on my vlog, because things were too short. The podcast was long. It was a way to express those thoughts and those feelings. But when the show disbanded with Pat Shea in the summer of 2022, I didn't know what was going to happen with the show. I honestly thought for a bit the show was done. It was going to die as is. But Dave Wheeler, when him and I got in touch about doing a show together, it flourished. It popped off in a way that I never thought it ever would. I mean, we've been averaging 10,000, 15,000 listens an episode during the season, this season and last season, and Dave added a level of professionalism that I had never been exposed to before. Dave showed me things that I'd never seen before, that I never even thought of before. I mean, he, as I've said many times, and this will probably be the last time I say it, he had the top morning show in the city of Winnipeg radio for almost 20 years. So him blessing me with that knowledge and that experience was incredible. And so to Dave Wheeler, thank you so much for our friendship, for what you did for the show. And although he is not a part of the new deal with the podcast moving forward, thank you so much. This podcast is not where we are today. This deal is not happening without you, my friend. But from sad to happy, I have a new co-host. He is a regular. He is full-time. He is slicing and dicing it up in the city of Buffalo, New York. He is the pride of Rochester. He is good-looking. He is late 30s, early 40s, good-looking with some tattoos. His name is Rob. He owns a company called Butt Ends over in Buffalo, New York. My friend, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Trav, great to be with you here, man. Really appreciate you having me on the show. Big shoes to fill here with Dave Wheeler. You guys did a great job building up the podcast, and I'm excited to be here with you, man. It's an honor.
I'm excited to have you, dude. This is going to be a new show that has a very different dynamic than the version previously. With Dave, it was a lot about my hockey stories and my hockey journey, and with Dave's professionalism and radio really helping to navigate telling that story. Now it's two guys who have played professional hockey with plenty of stories. I know you have plenty of American League stories, East Coast stories, college stories, even now where you own Butt Ends Hockey Grips and you're doing demo days with different professional leagues, different professional teams, even the NHL, the stories and the clips that you get that don't have context to them. We're going to have so much to share, which I'm really excited for, obviously sharing my journey as it moves forward as well. But you've been a friend of mine for years, and when the Nation Network and I started talking real serious about getting a deal done to bring the show more to a platform that could help grow the audience, the first person that came to my mind with Dave not being in the picture was Rob. Rob is the guy that I want. I don't want anybody from any other broadcasting company. There's nobody on this planet I want to do this show more with than Rob from Butt Ends.
Oh, that means a lot, man. I mean, you and I have had quite a journey together so far already. The last couple of years, doing a lot of stuff all the way back from hanging out with you in the Junior B squad up in Aarborg, taking the bus to the PAW, all the way to this year in the Fed, getting to see you get your first start up there in Watertown. And now I'm happy to be here on the show with you, man. It's great.
Yeah, you've been with me for the whole journey, dude, from the Junior B days. Literally, I think you may have been one of the first people I ever met from the internet in the influencing days. This is, 2016, 2017 we met. So it's come kind of full circle. And like I said, I couldn't be more excited to share this show and these stories with you. I did want to say to the audience and to the loyal members, so this is why there was no episode last week, was finalizing this deal with the Nation Network to get the podcast in this studio and to get everything up to snuff and up and running. I did want to say as a disclaimer, the show itself will not change. You are not going to see crazy amounts of gambling ads, alcohol ads. It will be the same Sling the Biscuit podcast that you have come to know and love, with a little bit of a different vibe between Rob and I. But as far as the other stuff goes, it will remain stable. And we hope that you love the new version of the show. And what do you say we get into today's show, Dave? Or Rob, sorry, force of habit.
you're a pro. I'm sure you can edit that part out, man.
Yeah, editing. well, why don't we get into this? So this is something that a lot of people have been asking about. And I've been obviously curious to kind of see it unfold. And I know when we were doing our prep for the show beforehand, you were asking about it as well. But my hockey playing career, where is it heading? Where am I at? Interest for teams over the holidays. Like I mentioned, there hasn't really been a new episode of the show in three, probably almost 4 weeks with the New Year special and the new episode last week. So this is the current breakdown. So it's been 2 months, a little bit under 2 months, since I was released by the Mississippi Seawolves. There has been contact with multiple Fed teams. I'm not going to mention names for obvious reasons. As much as there has been interest, there has been zero contract signed as of this point in time. And there's actually been a couple talks of, let's get you signed, let's get you a contract over your way. But when it comes to asking for the contract, nothing shows up, which I guess in and of itself is the Fed experience. But I did want to go off on a little bit of a talk about, I've had people message me in the Fed over the past couple weeks saying, hey, listen, man, I know what happened in, you know, Mississippi and Watertown and Motor City. It wasn't fair how they treated you, et cetera, et cetera. And I wanted to go off on that for a sec, because the reality of the situation with minor pro hockey, and I want Rob's opinion in 2 seconds here, because Rob knows all about this. Professional hockey is not fair. Life is not fair. How I was treated in Mississippi, Motor City, Watertown was not fair. The splits that I've had with girlfriends and relationships is not fair. Street fights are not fair. Fights that happen on the ice are not fair. My parents' divorce was not fair. Things in this lifetime are not fair. You have two options. You can accept it. You can embrace it. Say, listen, I can't change this, but I can make the most of my situation at hand, or become a forever victim, and that becomes your new identity. I picked the first of the two. This doesn't define me, and we're moving on. Team doesn't want me. All right, so be it. On to the next part. I'm going to keep skating. I'm going to keep training, because there's nothing else to do, right? Like, you can sit there and be a victim, or you can make action, and you can take actionables to achieve your goals. And my goal is to continue playing hockey wherever it may be. If it's in Europe, that would be awesome. If it's in the Fed, so be it. I do want to continue playing hockey, and I don't think the story is done yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, just what you were saying. You know, life is going to, you know, kick you in the butt, and it's all really about how you pick yourself up and keep coming after it. And I think you've shown, just like, you know, the reason why people love you and the reason why people follow your channel is because you've shown that you can, you know, withstand the adversity and make something out of it no matter what, you know. And it's true, like what you said, no matter what league you play in, you know, like whether it's the Fed, I played in the Coast, the American League, you know, I hear stories from guys even in the NHL. And it's the same thing, you know, like when you play pro hockey, especially, you know, there's a term we say, like, you're meat on the hook in pro hockey. And it's just, there's another guy waiting in line to do your job. And it's a greasy business. And, you know, you have to kind of expect that. But, you know, when you expect that and you take that on in your life and you can overcome obstacles, and that's what's going to make you a better person in the long run. And you're showing that right now with what you're doing. You know, you're making the most of the situation. And, you know, you're not expecting handouts from everybody, and, you know, you're going to create and forge an opportunity for yourself that's going to be, you know, better for you in the long run. So that's really a good lesson to anybody that's listening, just to expect that kind of behavior is going to happen, but overcome it and just keep going forward, keep plowing forward.
I love the point that you made about the man you become, because I think my hockey story, although a lot of people don't like it, because I think my hockey story reflects a mirror back to a lot of people that of things that they weren't able to do, because I'm not overly skilled. I don't have this overwhelming attribute that is just like, oh my God, he's so good. I'm just a guy who enjoys hockey, who doesn't take no for an answer and just keeps on going along. And there's so many people, for whatever reason, because it is easier to throw hate up the ladder than to drop it down. Nobody drops it down. They just keep climbing. If you're down below me on the ladder, you're throwing it up. But it's easier to drop shade and to drop hate on that than to appreciate and say, wow, like, that's inspirational. And I think my story essentially would be, they drop the bomb, and then boom, out from the bomb comes Trav, this cockroach. You just can't kill him. He goes to Watertown. Boom, goes to Mississippi. Boom, next opportunity. I just keep on going. I crawl out of the toilet, out of the bomb shell, and it's on to the next opportunity, right? Like, it's not personal. It's business. I could sit here and be upset about all these different things that happened, but guess what? It happens to other guys. It's happening to me. It's going to continue. And this is the sad thing. It's probably going to continue to happen, because that's just the business of things.
Yeah, but you're really making the most of it. You know what I mean? And I thought you were going to say Phoenix rising from the ashes. I didn't know you were going to go cockroach, but you know what I mean? It's a good analogy.
I say,
man,
cockroach because people don't like me. Phoenix would
no,
be people
yeah,
like
I know,
me.
I know. In my head, though, I love you, so I'm thinking Phoenix. But no, you're right, man. And it's really a lesson for a lot of younger athletes, too. Like, if you want to play hockey at pro level, or really anything, any business, any endeavor that you're going to undertake, expect, you know, there's going to be people that are going to try to bring you down. It's not going to be fair. And it's really how you respond to the adversity that's going to, you know, open up your life for you and create opportunities, like things that you're doing right now, for example.
Well, and I think that you going from playing professional hockey to owning your own business can attest to this, because you've seen this process out over 10 years more than I have. But the only thing you get to keep in the process is who you are. The man you become, you get to keep. The sticks, you know, we joke about summer stock. If it's not nailed down, take it. You don't get to keep that because the sticks get sold, they get broken, whatever. The team you play for, eventually, that's rented as well because you're not on the team anymore. Eventually, that goes away. The person you are is the only thing you get to keep. Even the athletic body, the shape that you're in, eventually that goes away. That's only rented, right? If you take it for granted and you start eating Doritos and chugging Bud Heavies, that all goes away too. So everything is rented. The only thing that you really own in this lifetime really is the man that you are and the person that you become in the process, and trying to take that, become the best version of yourself that you can be. It's really all there is to do.
Yeah, just realize that nothing lasts forever too. Like, everything is finite. So, you know, even if you're like, for my example, when I was playing pro hockey, I had a couple years where things were really good, you know, and I was, you know, a fan favorite in the organization and everything was great. And then my last year, you know, things didn't go great. I got injured. The fans turned on me, and like, you realize, like, you know, the moments that you had when things were good were something that you have to cherish, because eventually, like you said, everything will come to an end, and you know, you got to make the most of what you have when you have it, and then, you know, continue to move forward after it's done.
Let me ask you this: in your professional hockey career, playing, you know, for Merrimack NCAA Division I, for playing in the East Coast, playing in the American League, what do you think the biggest change for you as a man was? Like, what did you take out of the entire experience the most?
I think that's a good question, man. I think you grow up a lot. You know, you think, well, for me personally, when I got to college hockey, playing Division I hockey, I was like, wow, Division I hockey, this is amazing. And then after that's over, like I said, you know, you're there and everything feels great at the time when you're there. And then eventually that comes to an end. That chapter closes. And then to go on to play pro hockey, you get to the pro hockey level, and you realize, like, wow, like, you know, I thought college hockey was this, like, amazing experience and, like, super high level. And then you realize, like, oh, at the next level pro, you know, here we go again. You're starting again. And, you know, you realize that the college experience was great, but there's another level to this game, and it's a whole nother animal getting to play pro hockey and dealing with, you know, the different personalities that, let's say, that you get at that level. But just the experience of going through it and keep striving to get to the next level, it makes you, you know, that much more, you know, a better person as you get older.
Well, and you asked me the question before we started recording, was like how am I feeling about everything, like in my situation with my career, not having a team, sitting 2 months after being released from Mississippi. And the best way that I could describe it, and hopefully this resonates with the people listening, whether you're in the car or in the video version here on YouTube, but I think disappointing is a great way to put it, because the hip surgery that I had, actually literally a year ago today, I was having my hip surgery, was disappointing because I got everything out of it that I wanted, but I haven't been able to put that to use. Because I truly do believe that when I got the surgery, I came in with the goal of, this is going to make me the physically best goaltender I possibly can be. And I have absolutely done that. It absolutely has changed me. But have I gotten the opportunities? I would argue no. I'm playing well in the game in Watertown. Bad goal goes in, tough bounce. Coach doesn't have much of wiggle room for that. Out, no opportunity. Mississippi, unfortunately, we don't really have good defense. I give up 4 goals, get the yank. Other guy goes in, gives up 4 goals, not making much of a difference. Drive, go back in there. And then that was it. Guy comes down and whatnot. So it's unfortunate. It's disappointing. I hope that there's another opportunity. Well, I don't hope. There is going to be an opportunity coming up in the future, because I'm manifesting that. And this is another thing as well. I've seen so many comments. And Rob, I'm sure you could talk about this with the fans turning on you in your career. But in the comments section, and Daniel Amesbury said this on the Trash and Talk and Trash podcast the other day. Absolute beauty. Great show, by the way. But I get a lot of hate in the comments section of people that just want to, I guess, essentially take a big, massive steaming dump on me. Right? Is that pretty fair?
I've seen that.
And a lot of those people want to say, listen, man, it's time to retire. Just pack it in. Get a real job. Go do this. Go do that, et cetera, et cetera. Even if, let's just pretend for a second, even if I'm past my prime, it's time to retire, I don't have what it takes, I don't want to install that software in my mind, right? Like, I would rather sit here confident, ready for the next opportunity, happy, borderline delusional, than install software in my mind that says, oh, I don't have it anymore, I suck. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like you if that's what you believe that I should be doing. So I'm absolutely not going to embrace that mentality. I'm going to sit here and be confident in who I am and what I bring to the table, because if I don't believe in myself, who does? Nobody. Nobody's going to believe. I'm my biggest advocate, because nobody cares about you as much as you do.
Yeah, and I heard the quote, being rational is the fastest way to mediocrity, or something like that. I'm not sure who said it, but like you have, man, like, your dreams are huge. And like you said, you're preparing for the next opportunity that's coming your way. You know what I mean? And you're not going to sit there and just because you have a lot of people saying time to give it up. Like that's, you know, no, you're not ready, man. You're moving on. And you know, you said you get yourself in better shape. You're manifesting the next opportunity that's coming your way. And it's going to happen. It might not be exactly like you planned it in your head, right? It might not be this exact perfect opportunity that, you know, like this year playing in the Fed, it might be a different team or a different league or who knows what's coming next. But just by putting yourself and manifesting that next thing, something good is going to happen for you in your life. You can bet on it.
And I don't know how religious you are in this sense. I'm not religious by any means, but I do believe in God and believing that there's a reason for everything that happens. And I think that God puts the reverse of in school. In school, you get to study and then you get to test. But in real life, God gives you the test, you fail or pass, and then you get to learn from your experiences. And if I was to embrace the mentality of it's time to pack it in, I don't have it anymore. Like I'm not going to pass the next test. I'm looking to succeed and pass the next test. I want to make God proud for what I've been able to do. I've been able to take this adversity, handle it head on, go make the best that I possibly can out of my career and make myself into the best man that I can, make God proud, make my mom proud, make my family proud, make you proud, make the actual lovers and listeners of the show proud. Why would I do anything else? Why would I allow anything else to consume me outside of that?
Yeah, man. And, you know, by doing all the things that you just said, like you're putting yourself in a position to be successful in whatever it is that you decide to do after hockey. Because, you know, like we said, like, you're not going to be a hockey player forever. Hockey player, eventually, the end of a hockey career happens to everybody at some point, all players. But it's the, you know, the lessons that you're instilling, and it's the values that you have, and it's the drive that you have to pursue these outlandish goals when everybody's telling you it's time to quit. No, it's like you stick with it and you keep doing what you feel is right for you, and it's going to lead you to the next thing. You know, you can use that life lesson in anything that you're pursuing, really.
It's like I was maybe thinking about parting ways or quitting or retiring, but now you're telling me I need to. Now I'm really pissed off. Now I'm not going to do that. Now I'm really going to make sure that I prove you wrong because you've annoyed me.
Yeah. So where do you think, man? Where is it right now? Like, as far as like, where's your mentality? You know, I know we have, you know, you're back in Vancouver and you're feeling healthy and what are you thinking about for the next thing?
Yeah. So this is the difficult part. So there is no team in sight because nothing's been signed. There's some conversations going on with teams in Europe, but deadlines are quickly approaching. The only thing that I can do, like we mentioned, is try to make sure that I'm prepared the best that I can, in shape, in form, ready to stop pucks. We don't know when that time is going to come, but I am going to Edmonton in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks today. I'm going to go play in a native tournament up in Fort McMurray specifically, where they got a $7,500 cash prize for best team and a $500 cash prize for best goalie. So that's all the incentive you need. Show me the money.
Yeah, stay in shape. Go get the money. You know, it's good for the vlog. Sounds like a good opportunity. I love it.
Yeah, some res hockey up in Fort McMurray, Alberta. I couldn't be more excited for that.
That's actually pretty cool, man. We just got back. We were in Moose Factory, Ontario, a couple weeks ago, and we had a great experience up there with the young players doing a clinic up for them with Hockey Without Borders. It was my first taste of being that far north in Ontario. It was a pretty sick experience.
What did you think?
It was great, man. It was actually it was wonderful. We had to. My buddy Vishal was over here from India, and we had to take a train from Cochrane, Ontario, 6 hours to Moosonee, where we were greeted by helicopters to take us over the river to Moose Factory. And it was great, man. We did a clinic with the kids for a few days and got the opportunity to coach, which I love, and it was awesome, man. It was really cool. So it kind of reminded me of what your experience heading up there.
I picture Arnold Schwarzenegger, get to the chopper.
Yeah,
get to the chopper now.
I think we actually had that line. We were using that line when we were waiting for it.
Oh, man. Arnie's a legend. But that was awesome, though. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was exciting times, man. I'm excited to hear about what your experience is going to be up there. What exactly is it? Who organized the event?
So, those are all questions I do not have the answers to.
You're just showing up for the money?
Essentially. So, a buddy of mine, Keegan Pruden, he played, I think he was signed with the Elmira River Sharks this season, played in Sweden for a little bit. I filmed a couple of videos with him in Jasper, Alberta, maybe 2-3 years ago. And he was like, hey, man, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. Technically, I'm unemployed and I got a podcast going. He's like, you want to play in a native tournament? Sure. What's the catch? Cash, money, cold, hard cash, Fort McMurray, Alberta. January 24th or 28th or 29th, which is also great too, because with the show now being on the Nation Network has studios in Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, as well as Montreal and Toronto as well. So I can go play the tournament in Fort McMurray and then come do some media appearances, some media hits with the other shows and podcasts and the portfolio that the Nation Network has. So it'll be a whole well-rounded trip that I'm very, very excited for. Also, actually, no, we'll get to that later on in the show. We'll get to that later on in the show. We do need to take a quick commercial break. The presenting sponsor for the show, they presented the first version, the second version, and now the newest version of the show, Sheath Underwear. If you haven't gotten a pair of Sheath Underwear, let me tell you, you got to get a pair, because they have their incredible bamboo mesh cooling technology. It is awesome. Keeps you really, really, really comfortable. But the money, the real money pitch here is their dual pouch technology. It's a separated, segregated compartment for your dick and your balls to go into, comfortably compartmentalized. They're aerated and breathing, so they're not sticking to the side of your leg. They're not bat winging, and you don't got no panty soup going on there on the right thigh cheek. You fix this by going to sheathunderwear.com. Use the code BIZKIT69. Biscuit69 is going to get you 20% off from the team at Sheath Underwear. If you're on the YouTube video version, go to the YouTube video description notes, click on that link, put the code in. If you're on the Apple or Spotify version, listen to the car, pull over when safe to do so, or at the end of your set at the gym, podcast and notes, link, code, boom. 20% off the greatest underwear money can buy. Rob, you love your Sheath, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, Trev, you got me hooked on the Sheath Underwear a couple years ago now, and I'm a convert, so definitely a big fan.
Yeah, you were using the competitors, and now he doesn't use the competitors anymore. He's a Sheath-only kind of guy.
Yeah, big fan of Sheath. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah, shout out to Robert. He's a former U.S. Marine as well. He's an awesome guy, but thank you to Sheath for sponsoring the show. As far as other hockey opportunities go, I got my eyes on some teams in Europe. I'm very confident that something's going to come up for next season, absolutely, because that's all really I can do. I can sit there and train for next season because I ain't done. I got more gas in the tank. I got more stuff to do. The show needs some stories, so we got to get some stories in France, Slovenia, Slovakia, Czech, Sweden, France. I don't care. I just want to play some hockey and go for a fun experience. And also, too, this is one thing that I did find very common with guys in the Fed. They talked a lot about traveling the world. The Fed was their ticket or their passport to travel in the world, to the Mississippis, to the Virginias, to, you know, all these different places. And then whenever they're done, they want to go overseas to go see Spain, France, Portugal, all these other places that you wouldn't get to see otherwise. Like, it's literally your passport to go explore the world and play hockey at the same time.
Yeah, you. I mean, you're a testament to that already. You've had your experience over in Sweden. I remember following you along. The vlog was popping when you were playing over in Gothenburg. And what do you think the difference was like, man, compared to playing hockey in Europe and playing hockey in the Fed, from your opinion?
It was stable. I think the stability is the biggest thing, because in the Fed, it's like, yeah, we sign year-to-year contracts, but like, you could be gone tomorrow, you could be here next week. I remember when I got traded to Mississippi, I was having a phone call with my new boss, and he's like, hey, man, don't worry. I'm loyal to my guys here. When you come here, you don't leave. You stay here the full season. Boom, gone 2 weeks later. So that lasted, but in Europe, it's stable because there's actual money invested. So the teams have paid for your transfer card. They've paid for different licensing, basically to get you in the door, right? So to have a regular European player, it's almost free. Basically, it is free plus salary. To have an import, it costs money. So they have something invested, so they're a lot less likely to get rid of you, which is the big kicker why I love playing European hockey. And also, experiencing the European culture is different. I still love the pastries, the kännerbulle or the vinnerbulle in Sweden, or the meatballs, the shortbulla.
Yeah, oh, man, they were, I know, so you were good. Big
that was
on
my
meatballs.
Swedish, by the way. Oh, I turned into a meatball. My bloodstream, if you took blood work out of me, you would have seen like chunks of IKEA meatballs in there somewhere.
So if you could have your dream, do you think you would go back to Sweden, or would you want to explore somewhere different over in Europe? Like, what do you think?
I would love to play in Norway, to be honest with you, because I got that 1 week cup of coffee in Norway with the Haugesund Seagulls before they got shut down for the Cove. And Haugesund was beautiful. The hockey was really, really good. I feel, and this is me kind of putting my tinfoil hat on for a moment, tinfoil hat on if you're on the audio version. I feel like I've experienced most of there is to see in Sweden. I'd just be kind of going back and repeating the same thing. Although I love Sweden. Don't get me wrong. I would love to go and repeat the same experience that I had, because it was an amazing time and I would happily go back. With that being said, I would love to experience new things. So if I wanted to go play in Spain, that'd be kind of cool. See some mountains, see some nice weather, see some nice ladies. Boom. If I wanted to go to play in Norway, that'd be awesome. See some mountains, go in the fjords of Norway, and just have an awesome experience. I want to see new stuff, want to experience new things. And I think the vlog wants to see that as well. The vlog wants to see the hockey. The vlog also wants to see the experience that comes with the hockey, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. Your vlog experience obviously is amazing everywhere you go. And that's like you said, man, like Watertown even is, you know, your vlog there is great experiences in Mississippi, but then obviously to take it overseas, like you did when you went to Sweden, it just gives the viewer, and I'm a viewer, it gives us like, you know, something, a whole new environment and a place for you to explore and really like showcase and really show your talents.
They drop the nuke and the cockroach comes out over to Europe.
Here comes the cockroach in Norway.
Let me ask you a question. I know you never got to play over in Europe, but did you ever think about playing in Europe when you're still in the pro circuit?
Yeah, man. I was actually really excited when I was a player. My fourth year in the East Coast League was my fourth year minors. I was up and down in the American League, and I had my sights set on Europe. Like, I was thinking about jumping my last year. I actually got a call. I had an offer from, I forget even where. It was one of those teams, one of those leagues in like Norway or in Scandinavia somewhere. And I was in the middle of my fourth year, and I was still kind of, you know, having the dream of like, I could go back to be in the American League and then hopefully make it to the NHL. So I passed the opportunity up. But my idea when I was playing at that point was at some point I wanted to jump and go to Europe and have that experience. You know, I heard a lot of my friends that would go, you know, after playing a few years in North America, they'd bounce over to over to Europe and extend their career for a few years, travel the world, meet a lot of people, make some money. And so that was like my plan. But, you know, like we talked about earlier in the show, man, like life comes at you and like plans don't always go the exact way that you want them to. And I got injured my fourth year, and it was basically a career ender. And so I never made it over to the European market to play, which unfortunately, I think it was unfortunate because I think I would have been pretty good in that environment. But it was a dream that I had that I never fulfilled. But I've been able to, with my company Butt Ends, been able to travel into a lot of these places and do stuff in hockey in the European markets and in Asia and in other places as well. So I feel very lucky and fortunate. It didn't work out exactly like I planned. Like, I'd love to have played there, but I was able to go and experience it in other ways. But yeah, man, I was jealous of you watching you play in Sweden and seeing the experience that you had with the culture and that style of game. So it's really cool.
It was a life-changing experience. I had lots of guys in Motor City even asking me, like, hey, man, what was it like playing in Sweden? Would you do it again? Life-changing experience. If you're playing hockey professionally, whether it's for 125, 225 a week, you should go and experience Europe. You should get that life-opening, the eye-opening experience. Everybody should, I believe. If you have the money, you have the time, you have the patience, and you have the gas left in the tank, you should absolutely do that. I did also want to mention as well, even though Dave Wheeler is no longer the show, there are two episodes on the Patreon page of the show. So it's $5 a month to support the show. And it has the Untold Motor City Rocker stories and the Untold Watertown Wolves stories. Those are live with all the other content before from Dave's morning show and other deleted episodes that had to be removed that are now up there that are living forever on the Patreon page. Again, $5 for the content, $7.50. You get the trading cards, my collectible series trading cards, different mugs, merches, whatnot. There's a link in the description if you want to support the show, because it helps keep the lights on top of our brand new deal with the Nation Network. So if you want that content and you want to see more Dave and more stories that just don't make it publicly, that's the way to do it. So anyway, our producer, Grady is on the way out the door. Oh, giving him the wave. All right, see you later, buddy. I guess I'm doing the audio tonight myself. but yeah, that's the Patreon page. I did want to say as well, one thing that I had penciled in the notes here, two things. So the NBA is doing a series with Netflix, a full behind the scenes thing for a couple of different faces behind the NBA. Now, the Leafs did one with Amazon last season, and from what I was told from somebody very close to the production team, there was a lot of things that Brendan Shanahan took off the table and said, that gets cut. That should have made it in. That would have been very entertaining. Obviously, hockey doesn't really want personalities the same way that maybe the general public wants them to be, if that makes sense. Do you think that there's a world where minor pro hockey gets on that, where like the Orlando Solar Bears or the Hershey Bears are like, listen, let's get on a Netflix series, an Amazon series, and let's show what hockey's actually like behind the scenes, within reason, obviously.
I mean, I think that's a great idea. I mean, it'd be interesting to see. But, you know, you saw it even at the level you were playing, bro. Like, you're in the Fed, and you even see that level where they're like super tight about not letting anything. You know, teams don't want to show like how the sausage is made, really, in the locker room. And you know how like the hockey culture, you know, you don't talk about what happens in the locker room. So it'd be really outside of the box for a team to be like, you know, let's bring the cameras in and show everything, especially in the minors. But I think it'd be a great idea. I think it'd be make for some great TV for sure.
You know what? And again, I want to give a shout out to AJ Galante and the Talking Trash podcast. He hosts with Daniel Diamondhands Amesbury, but the Danbury Trashers, I feel like, really pioneered that with their series, with their whole series on what Danbury hockey was all about. It really showed a glimpse into what minor pro hockey was like. And although they're not around, obviously, I don't know if they'd even be allowed to be around if they still were after that documentary went out. But like, that is minor pro hockey in a nutshell, right? Like, you have one guy owning half the teams in the league. You have a guy who's paying off certain guys and giving them fight bonus money, which you can't put in a contract, but you would never believe it unless you actually saw them giving them the money. You have all these other different things, like the bus breaking down, like we're going on a road trip. There's a hole in the roof of the bus. I'm freezing. We have no heat. They told us, make sure you just wear the tracksuit. It's almost like it is a rookie initiation. Only wear the tracksuits. By the way, you're going to sit in the bus. There's a hole above you on the roof. Stuff like that happens all the time. And to document that and to put that out to the general public on Amazon or Netflix or Hulu, whatever the streaming service it would be. Definitely not Disney. I don't think they would want that. But it would be awesome. But like you just mentioned, like I've tried to, I guess, kind of do that. And
that's what I was going
to
say. Your show is like basically, you know, you're scratching the surface of, you know, showing some stuff inside.
Oh, it like, oh, how do I word this without getting myself in trouble? If I really wanted to show like some behind the scenes stuff, I absolutely could. I feel like I've shown very PG stuff. Like, so for example, when I was in Mississippi, I had people messaging me saying, hey, why would you show a video of you sleeping on a mattress in the garage? Because that's what I did. I wear it as a badge of honor. I don't look at me sleeping in the living room, in the kitchen, or sleeping on a couch, or sleeping in the garage as, hey, look at how awful this is. It's a badge of honor. I want to play hockey. I'm sleeping in the garage. I don't take no for an answer, and I'm going to show up at the rink with a smile on my face and earlier with more energy than the guy sleeping in a warm, cozy bed. It's a badge of honor. And anybody that says, well, you buried, I'm not burying anybody. I wear it as a badge of honor. Minor pro hockey is a badge of honor and it is the measuring stick to life, I believe.
Yeah, man. And I think you did a really good job in a really difficult situation as somebody who played in the minors and like knows a little bit about the locker room lifestyle. For you to go in there and like bring the YouTube show and for to show what you did and like talk about what you did. And like, you know, that was a tough thing, man. And you did a really good job, you know, showing the behind the scenes, you know, peeling back the curtain and giving the, you know, the fans a little bit of taste of what it's like. You know, if you want to play minor hockey, like minor pro hockey, like you're going to have to live a certain way and you're going to have to, you know, put up with a lot of things. And, you know, you got to show that, but it's tough, man. You can tell people like, what was it like? Like, you know, walking into the locker room and everybody knows like, here comes Trav with the cameras. Like it must've changed your whole relationship with the team and the boys.
Yes or no. It depends on the team, depends on the players. So I always brought the mentality of I don't want to be intruding on anybody's space. I know that I have the show. You know that I have the show. But let's not make this awkward and let's make this into an issue, if that makes sense. So, for example, I like to think I'm very good at reading people's emotions and like how they feel, especially towards me. And so if I get even a slight inkling that somebody isn't a fan of me filming, doing the podcast, not a problem, dude. I'll keep the cameras away from you. I will respect you. I will leave you out as much as I possibly can because I want us to work as a relationship functionally outside of my YouTube show. Us on the ice has to work as well on top of us as just men, right? But on top of that, you have the guys that love the camera. I could just sit the camera on the bench and they'll take it. They'll start talking to it. They'll, right? Like they love the limelight. It's great. But it's the, right? And you know those, you know the exact guys that I'm talking about, but it's a balancing act at the same time as well because I felt in Motor City, and we talked about this before we started recording the show, I felt in Motor City that bringing the cameras brought the team together, and I felt that it endeared me to my teammates. And I'm not sure if maybe because it was a new expansion team and there was no pecking order established. So when the guys saw, you know, me promoting the team and people are coming to the rink and people are showing up to our practices with signs, hey, I love Trav, hey, start Trav, start Ridgen, what time is it, and with Phil, 12 pass Ridgen, whatever. Like these fans are crazy. And people see that stuff. Like the guys on the team see that, like, that's awesome. That's good. That's people coming to the rink paying my salary so I get paid on time this Wednesday. I don't have to wait 2 weeks for my money. Right? The guys liked it. And I did it in a way that was trying to promote the guys and their brand and do it in a very positive manner, to the best of my ability, because again, like we talked about, minor pro hockey isn't all sunshine and rainbows, blueberries and paper airplanes. It's just not. I did find though, in Watertown in Mississippi, I didn't feel the vibe was the same way. And if anything, I felt it was almost the opposite. Like I felt like there was maybe jealousy is the word. I don't know if my, like the presence of, here's a guy that really, like I said, isn't overwhelmingly skilled, has cameras, knows how to press record and upload on YouTube. That's really the only skill sets that I did bring. It's like, it's kind of annoying. And maybe some, like, oh, reality, right? Like, that's how some guys see it. It's so be it. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. As long as I'm uploading publicly, you are allowed to have your opinion. Absolutely. But I don't think some guys came very welcoming to that. And I don't think it was overall net positive because the guys have to be on the same page of, okay, this is going to help us. This brings people to the rink, money in our pockets, right? Asses in seats is what we want, right? True, correct. Okay, good. But at the same time, you have to be willing to take the good with the bad, right? Like, it's not all going to be good. It's not just, you know, like, you don't just walk out, take the duffel bag with $1 million cash and walk out no strings attached. No, you have to fill out some paperwork as well, my friend, right? That's the business side of things, right? What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that, I think, comes from the top down. And I got to see it firsthand, you know, hanging out with you, with the guys with Motor City. I mean, you know, you brought me in there to do a demo for the boys, and I got to be in the locker room with all the guys, and I got great vibes from that team, that organization. You know, and you were part of the squad, and you were filming in there, making videos, and, you know, being part of the show that day. And, you know, the boys accepted me, and they accepted you. But, you know, it was funny, though. I got a little vibe from the coach. I don't know if you remember, but the Motor City coach, I was, like, doing my thing. You know, I had the boys dialed in grips, and I'm, like, trying to make videos to promote what we're doing there. And I remember, like, coach is, like, in there, like, you know, who is this guy? Like, I'm, like, basically running around the locker room. And then I remember the guys were getting on the ice, and I'm like, yeah, coach, I'm going to come out there and skate and, like, get videos of the guys using grips. He's like, ah, oh, we're trying to run a practice here. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh. But for the most part, I mean, like, I saw it, man. The guys in that team, they really accepted you, and they loved what you were doing. And I know a lot of the guys, like your boy Big Sexy, he wanted to be a part of it. He was a showman. He wanted to be in every show.
Big Sexy's brand exists because of what I was doing. That is the reason why Big Sexy exists in the online ether.
Yeah, didn't you guys invent Fedzino too? Like, isn't that your thing?
Yeah, Big Sexy and I came up with the Fedzino, and I created the persona of Big Sexy for him, I guess, if you want to call it that. And I do remember the coach not maybe being so welcoming to you. The part that I found confusing about that was, like, at the time, like, we had, like, zero sponsors. It felt like, outside of, I think we had a credit union, there was zero sponsors for the team on the boards, on the jerseys, anywhere. And so I told the guys, Rob would love to come give a demo, hook up some grips for the guys, let's just skate, let's just have a good time. And I remember our GM being like, trying to charge you to come hook the guys up for doing demo. Like,
well,
hey, man,
he was doing his thing, man.
Here.
He was trying to grease us. You know, he saw a company coming. He was like, oh, yeah. He's like, pay me a little bit of money. You can set up at the game, you know, for the fans. And I'm like, you know, I'm like trying to work my magic. Like, oh, I'll just come behind the scenes and like give the boys some grips and kind of do my thing. But it was sick, man. We got to, you know, set up everything on the ping pong table in the dressing room. And, you know, at first a little bit, the boys are like, you know, like, who's the new guy? What's going on here? But then as soon as, like, one guy got, you know, his first grip, then all of a sudden the floodgates opened up and all the boys were coming over and super good vibes, you know. But, yeah, you know, you got to give credit to the GM for at least trying to get a little money. You know how it is in that level, so.
Yeah, we had no money. We're trying to get money in the door somehow. Maybe Rob could bear bills. I don't know, right? It's a charity.
I'm like, why don't we just trade some product for the boys? Like, you know what I mean?
And I say that story with nothing but love, by the way, just for the record.
But yeah, it was a good time.
But another thing I did want to mention as well was I have been harping on women's pro hockey for a while. The PWHL is actually doing a fantastic job. I know you probably never thought that I would give kudos to women's hockey. The killing a penalty, scoring a goal shorthanded, pull somebody out of the box, fantastic. More physicality, great. I would love to see fighting. I would love to see the women in the PWHL beat the shit out of each other. Honestly, make it real hockey. Let's put some fights in. I would love to see that. What do you think, Rob?
I don't know if I necessarily need that for it to be awesome hockey. I've had my experience watching the PWHL and the Women's Pro League before that when they had the Buffalo team here. But I think the game is awesome. And we work with a couple of the women from the Pro Hockey League, and we're really excited to have the opportunity to you know, to see them flourish in their new season and their new league. And we're excited to be a part of it in any way possible. And I've been trying to work on some behind-the-scenes stuff with some of the players that use our product of that league. And I'm really excited for the future of women's hockey in general.
Is there a team specifically in the PWHL you're going to be doing a demo with soon?
We're talking with a couple of the players. I don't have anything 100% on the calendar, but so I'm hesitant to like name anybody. But when we do, we'll announce it for sure. And it should be really fun, sure.
I still think I'd be the best goalie in the women's professional hockey ranks if I switched over.
I'd be interesting to see, Trav. I'm not going to lie.
What do you think? Actually, why don't we talk about that for a split second? I have nothing going on. I'm technically unemployed. I got the show going on. Do you think I need to shave my beard and maybe like grow up my hair a bit to be considered a woman? Or do you think I could just say, I'm a woman. I'm going to go play in the PWHL. Give me a 2-week PTO and let's see if I can hang with the boys or the girls, I guess.
I'm going to leave that one to you on this one, Trav. I'm not sure if that's going to fly, but if that's the way that you want to play it and to keep the career going, then I think, you know, that'll be interesting for the vlog, let's say, bro.
Hey, wear that belt. Best goalie women's hockey right here.
Yeah, good luck with
coming
that.
At you. That's actually a great time. Why don't we take a quick little ad break to tell you about the team at Manscaped.com. The Manscaped team has their beard hedger. If you have a beard like mine, you can taper it with a beard hedger. It has 20 different lengths. It has a 60-minute battery life. It is also waterproof so that you can use it in the shower as well if you're trying to hide from your significant other. It does a great job fading, tapering. That's how I do my beard from a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis as well. And if you go to the link in the video description, manscaped.com, code BISKIT, B-I-Z-K-I-T, 20% off and free shipping. Apple Spotify notes as well, 20% off, free shipping, only from the team at Manscaped. Thanks for them for sticking with the show moving into 2024. Rob, I had a question for you. What do you think of Zach Bell from Always Hockey?
He's the man.
Why?
He's the pioneer for basically inventing, you know, stick tricks, I guess you call them. I've known Zach for a long time, actually, since basically we started the company. He and I linked up. He grew up probably about an hour and 40 minutes from where I'm from, Buffalo, New York. And really early on when we started Butt Ends, he was somebody that I used to collaborate all the time with. And to watch him, you know, right from when I first met Zach, like I knew like he was kind of destined to be who he is today, like a very popular influencer in hockey. But he's like an awesome kid, great personality. And he was somebody that I always loved to like do stuff with and work with. And like I said, man, I've known him since he was like, you know, a young kid. And now to see him blossom and to turn into like, you know, this megastar in hockey is really cool. And it really couldn't happen to a better guy. He's a really, you know, a genuinely nice kid, a good person. And yeah, I've been really fortunate to get to know him and to work with him in a bunch of different ways. And like I was telling you before the show, he even was a guest coach at our first hockey camp that we did, the Butt Ends Hot Hands camp in Westchester, New York. I had him come down, stay at my apartment in New York and help us out with the kids at our first camp. And he was a huge hit, you know, obviously with the kids. And yeah, I couldn't be happier for the success that he's having. And he really deserves it. I mean, he's, you know, you see the stuff that he does on the internet where he, you know, does stick tricks, spins the stick, catches the puck. And, you know, he works hard at it. But when you go and you film with Zach, like he does that stuff, like no problem, like one take. He's like Mr. One Take, I used to call him back when I hung out with him. Like, it's kind of sick to see what he's accomplished, and you know, I wish him nothing but the best for sure.
There's a video of him the other day schooling Swedish goalies in the Frölunda hockey club, and when I saw him making them look dumb, I think that was the moment that I had click in of like, I don't think it matters what goalie you put in front of him; he's just that good. And I will say, if there is one person I'm very jealous of in the hockey community, it is Zach Bell. And the reason being is he's flying all over the place, first class here, first class there, the nice hotels, the nice resorts, NHL's flying him out, EA Sports is motion capturing here in downtown Vancouver for the next game. He's in the game. He's got the Louis Vuitton bag, the nice stick, the Bauer Zach Bell Hockey Edition stick. He's got everything going on for him. He's probably making $250,000, probably $300,000 a year doing this just off Instagram. And I will say, I respect the hustle. I have nothing but respect for what he has done because, like you said, Rob, Zach Bell pioneered stick tricks, but I am jealous and maybe a little bit envious. I'm envious, slightly jealous of what Zach has been able to accomplish, but all the credit to him. I would love to have him on the show. I've tried getting him on the show, but he said he wants to start his podcast before he comes on mine. Zach, come on the podcast here in downtown Vancouver. Look at this studio. Look at this studio. Come talk to me.
Yeah, let's go, Beller. No, yeah, Zach's a great kid, great guy, and yeah, man, I'm interested to see everyone, like, you know, where he takes the channel and where he takes his brand. And yeah, he's a great dude.
I would love to have the conversation with him. I have so many questions I would love to ask him just on the business side of influencing, because there really is no conversations out there about this. I would love to talk to other podcasters as well, like Cam Jansen, Cam and Strix, or any of the other guys, because like nobody wants to talk about the business of doing this, right? Like you and I talk a little bit about this, but there really is no public conversations about it.
About what? About like being an influencer or being like what? Like a media personality on hockey?
Yeah, because so I do this podcast, right? I do my vlog. People look at it like, oh, wow, this dude lives in his parents' basement and milks his parents for all that they're worth. False. Not the case. This is what I do for a full-time income and a full-time living. And actually getting into the intricacies of how do I make money being an influencer? What is the day-to-day like? What is brand like negotiating a brand deal like? What is working with different companies like? What is creating the content? I hate that word. It's so cringy. But what is that actually
been,
like?
You've been hating on that for a long time. The C word.
I hate that word so much. I hate the word content the way the women hate the word moist, right? That's kind of how I feel about that. But to actually go from a concept to here's the actual video, boom, we're going to throw it out there. Like right now, actually, your boy as well, Nick the goalie and I, Nick Weston, because he's in North Vancouver.
Yeah, we've been talking about shout out to Nick the goalie.
He's a real good guy, and we have actually a really good video series. We were talking the other day. We got to go for coffee, I think, next week to really hum out some details. But we're going to do a pros versus Joes series.
Now, what is it going to be?
Pros versus Joes. So I'm the pro. Nick's the Joe. Pro hockey versus men's league, and we're going to do a competition of like fastest skater, like fastest from the net to the bench on a delayed penalty, a sumo hockey fight competition, fastest dresser, longest shot, just a bunch of goalie drills. Like we're literally going to do a beer league goalie versus a men's league goalie. What is the difference? This is how it looks. And we had this idea, like, because the video version on YouTube is going to be story driven. I want to do the story of like Nick going from a nobody to a TikTok superstar, and for me going from just junior B hockey to playing professional hockey. And Nick had this idea, and it's going to be really magical when we put it in a film format. But he wanted to do like an opening, like call and answer monologue where Nick's like, yeah, you know, I started my new men's league season and I've dropped my goals against from 20 down to 15. Things are going really great. And then it just instantly pans to me. Hockey doesn't define me. I've been doing this for years. It's about who you are in the process, right? Just this like call and answer. Like here's a guy who doesn't care. And here's a guy who's just happy to be here.
Yeah, I like that, man. You and Nick the goalie are a pretty perfect duo. A couple butt ends goalies yeah. too.
Dude, and he is actually a wicked dude. He's probably one of my favorite guys in the entire community. He just on a personal level, an amazing friend, and then from a business perspective, a great creator as well. He is awesome.
Shout yeah, out to you, I love Nick. I love his videos. Every time his videos pop up in my feed, I'm always it always brings a smile to my face to see what Nick's up to.
If he's swimming on the net, or if he's climbing the net, or if he's screaming, burping, shitting, farting, pissing, like what is he going to do this time?
Yeah, for sure, man.
You think you could hop in one of his videos and like what would you do? Like if you were playing with Nick the goalie.
Yeah, definitely. I told him like he you know, next time he does a film or next time maybe you guys are filming, we should link up, man, and make something for sure. I don't know how I would I don't know how I would fit into a Nick the goalie video except for just trying to light him up, but I don't know. We'd have to see.
He's just burping in your face. Ugh, nice goal, Rob.
Yeah, I would love to get a chirp. I would love to hear what Nick the goalie would chirp me for. You know what I mean? I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. Like he's got so many clever chirps. You know what I'm saying?
That they are very clever. They're very well done. And he's just a very likable guy. But anyway, enough of the Nick the goalie stroke off session. Nick, I hope you're doing well, and I'm very excited to get our Pros versus Joes series. Well, I also do you want to get into a little bit of a talk about this? I know we got a couple minutes left in the show, but just some projects I'm working on and kind of passing by you, see what you think, Rob.
Yeah. Fire away.
Okay, so my boy Sweens, who I room with in Sweden and VIU as well for college hockey, he's a full-time film producer now in Calgary, and we were talking about getting something together for Banff or like Lake Louise, maybe even Jasper, sometime in March. We have a guy by the name of Juan Morales, who he's a videographer for the NHL. He has some incredible work. His portfolio, his catalog of work is incredible, and he's going to put together a story. We're going to go out skating with a couple other guys, including Eric Nagy, I think, was gonna be a part of it. You ever seen Austin Alexander? He does a lot of like Justin Trudeau impersonations.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, dude, I love the Trudeau impersonations. So I had this idea of like skating with Justin Trudeau, and he's just like sitting on top of the. Hold on, I'll do it for the video version of the show. Like Trudeau is just like on top of the net. I'm here for Canada, and I'm working towards a better tomorrow. As there's like three guys trying to like bury the puck on me, just like jamming away at me.
That's not bad,
right? Like that'd be pretty good.
That's not a bad Trudeau either, man. You've been working on that?
Hey, JT, how about a little bit of defense? Travis, you are so anti-science. It's not even funny. I'm going to, boom, freeze your bank account.
That's not bad.
Oh, you hear that? The producers laugh from the back. That's when you know it was funny.
And your bank account is frozen.
And I have no more show. The show is off the network.
Yeah,
now.
We're done. One episode and we're done.
No, it's all in good fun. I did have one last thing I didn't want to talk to you about. I've seen a lot of clips popping around lately of NHL goalies and their warm-up routines, and just the level of respect that I have for NHL goalies, how good of skaters they are, good at being trackers, just, and this is in the goalie realm. Like NHL players in general are the best of the best of the best for a reason. And until you actually get to see them close and personal, you actually don't really appreciate the details. And just, I am just such a fan, and I have such respect, not a fanboy, but a fan that appreciates and respects the work that these guys do and just how good they are. What do you think, Rob? You got a taste of being around a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a goalie, but I can definitely and certainly agree with what you're saying. And like, I've gotten, you know, being hanging around goalies like you, I've gotten like more interested in watching like the goalie routines, you know, especially like we got some guys, you know, butt ends goalies. I like to watch how goalies, you know, warm up for the game, and you see their routine. And I was always kind of fascinated, you know, goalies have the reputation of being kind of crazy, you know, and you see guys and the way that they, you know, prep for a game or, you know, get out there for warmups and like the way that they cut their crease and the different moves that they make. It's definitely impressive. But like you touched on it, man, at that level, at the NHL level, the skating is really what separates those guys from, you know, players in the minors. And it's really all about skating. And goalies nowadays, you know, everything is so refined. You know, as you know, with all the goalie training and all the goalie, you know, everybody's analyzing every little thing. Guys are trying to get an edge any way they can. And if you can improve your skating and by watching guys like, you know, your favorite goalies, guys like a guy like Vasilevskiy, you watch him skate and you can emulate some of the things he's doing, you know, that's how you're going to make it to the next level for sure.
They are so, so good. And I just laugh anytime I see fans online or even some of the nerds in the commercial media shitting on NHL goalies. This guy sucks. Bro, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand how good this guy is. Yeah, maybe he's not a good NHL caliber goalie. But this guy could run circles around you any day of the week.
Oh, yeah, 100%, man.
Well, what do you say we cap the show here? This is the first episode of Season 4, The New Sling of the Biscuit, powered by the Nation Network, presented by Sheath Underwear, with my incredible good-looking co-host with tattoos, muscles, and a good jawline. Looks like Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud. Can you take it all away? Can you take it all away now?
Appreciate you, bro.
Rob from Butt Ends. I'll put a video in the video version. Rob looks like Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud.
You let the fans be the judge of that, all right?
What song should I put on? Do you think I should put on She Hates Me? Do you think I should put on Control or Blurry?
I'm a fan of Blurry? She Hates Me.
Producer says Blurry. All right. Everything. So I'm going to stop singing. I'm just going to put the video on the video version of the show. But anyway, on behalf of me and Rob, thank you so much for listening. We do a new episode every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. That is 10 in Winnipeg, 9 in Calgary, 8 a.m. right here at Wall Center in downtown Vancouver on the Pacific Northwest. A bunch of different time zones across Europe. The video version is on YouTube. The Apple Spotify version is on the Apple Spotify. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm getting kind of tired here. And on behalf of our third guest, thank you for listening and being a part of Canada. Good night.